you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
So good to have you with us on Film Week. I'm Larry Mantle, joined this week by critics Angie Hahn, Amy Nicholson, and Charles Solomon. We turn our attention now to the three categories of short films. There's animated, documentary, and live action. They're being shown in different configurations at local movie theaters. And let's start with the animation category, where we have five animated shorts that are in competition. Charles, let's start with you. And what are your favorite couple of films in these five nominees?
Well, I've got to say, Larry, this is not a vintage year for this category. There's nothing that comes to the level of charm of last year's Hair Love or just the sheer glory of the animation in Dear Basketball the year before. And there were some more interesting films that didn't make the final cut. There was a very interesting Hawaiian film and a French film that used Ice Age art. Of these five, I would probably go with Genius Loci, or Loci if you prefer the medieval Latin, which has very exciting color, very imaginative use of palette and color, interesting imagery. The story kind of wanders and stumbles and fumbles along, but it's interesting to look at while it's kind of stumbling along. Most of the others I frankly found rather undistinguished in most ways. And that said, I think Burrow from Disney and Pixar will win because it's cute and cartoony, and that's what a lot of the Academy members seem to like.
Angie, what stood out to you among the animated short films this year?
I really liked Opera, which is I'm trying to figure out how to explain it. It's you're watching this big triangle that I guess represents like the whole world, and you're just watching these little tiny figures kind of go about their lives, and it's almost like a Bosch painting. It's got that kind of hellishness to it, and also the sense of just being overwhelming and you don't know where to look and everything. And so it just kind of scans up and down, and you watch these cycles of violence and can repeat themselves over and over. And I just found it to be really fascinating. That said, it's something where you don't really, because you don't know where to focus, I kind of wish that I could have just paused it and stared at it for a while to follow everything that was happening. But yeah, as Charles mentioned, Genius Loci, that one was also really good. That one felt like it was experimenting with how much feeling you can convey with really simple abstract images. So I like that one a lot too.
And that's a French film from director Adrien Marigeau. That's Genius Loci. Opera is written and directed by Eric Oh, former Pixar animator. Amy, what are your picks in the category of Oscar-nominated short animation films?
I'm also a fan of Genius Loci, which probably means it will not win. So apologies to everybody who's listening to this segment closely to make sure they nail their Oscar pool, because yes, the shorts are the hardest part of the Oscar pool every year anyways. I mean, it's really got this impressionistic watercolor style animation that I thought was absolutely breathtaking. And it's capturing the feeling of, I think, being in a depressive state, feeling really checked out, but it does that in this vibrant, just jaw-dropping way. But yes, cute here usually wins, and alas.
There's a Netflix animated short, If Anything Happens, I Love You, from Michael Govier and Will McCormack. What do you think of that, Amy?
You know, I thought it was a bit treacly, which I feel pain to admit it. It struck me as one of the shorts that uses a really serious subject. Here it's using school shootings, but just it almost as a way of giving a film heft that I think it didn't really have or deserve.
There's also an Icelandic animated comedy film, Yes, People. Angie, that didn't do it for you?
No, I mean, it's cute. It looks nice. It's not unpleasant to watch, but I just didn't really get that much out of it. It just shows these people going about their daily lives in a building, which actually normally sounds like the kind of thing I'd be into, but I just couldn't see the point here. I'm sorry.
All right. But Burrow, you thought was super cute. You liked that.
Burrow was so cute. I know Charles and Amy are just like, oh, Burrow is going to win because it's cute and they like that. And that's true. I agree with them. But also, it is really cute. The animations look like a children's book, like those children's storybooks with like cute little critters building their little houses, which is what it's about. And so I don't know. I was like, this is not exactly something that I think is groundbreaking, but it's something that I found to be very pleasant.
By the way, Burrow was written and directed by Madeline Sharafian, the animated comedy, and it's from Disney. Burrow is rated G. You can see all of these animated short films in wide release where they play one right after the other, and nice if you're fully vaccinated, for example, if you feel comfortable going to a theater to see those films. Charles, you have any thoughts about why this would be a down year? Because, you know, one of the things that was able to keep going in the entertainment industry during the year of the pandemic was animated film production.
Well, with every year, you get a new crop of films. And I guess it's just some years are exciting and some years aren't, as they are in any other area of film. But as I say, I think there were two really interesting films that did not make the nominations, but were in the finals. And I preferred both of those to any of the five that did make it. Bouncing back to what Angie said, I don't dislike Burrow. I just wish it had a little bit more substance or a little bit more bite. It's too cute and I think trying too hard to be likable, just as Amy said, If Anything Happens, I Love You. It feels manipulative, like a Don Bluth film, instead of earning the emotion from you that, say, Up does about loss. It's kind of telling you you should be sad about this. So, just not a memorable year.
All right. Well, let's move to the category of best documentary short films of the year and the five nominees that are here. Angie, for you, which one stood out in this pack?
My favorite was A Love Song for Latasha, which is about the life and death of Latasha Harlins, the Black teenager whose killing in 1991 was one of the events that precipitated the 1992 Los Angeles riots. It's composed of interviews with people who were close to her, namely her cousin and her best friend, but you mostly just hear them. What you're actually seeing is images of modern neighborhood girls posing and kind of acting out some of the scenes from Latasha's life. And then once it gets to her death, they use abstract animation instead of showing any of the videos of her death, which is a powerful choice. It's exactly what the title suggests. It's just this really lovely tribute to this woman to this girl and the life that she lived when she is someone who these days is mostly remembered for the way that she died. It's just so creative and heartfelt, and I think that everyone should check it out.
A Love Song for Latasha, top pick. What did you think of Do Not Split? What did you think of that, Angie?
That one I liked a lot as well. It's an on-the-ground view of the protests in Hong Kong in 2019 and 2020, and it's really disturbing and exciting to watch. I think that Anders Hammer, who directed the film, really captures the anger and the fear and the energy of the movement in a really unvarnished way. So if you're looking for a detailed breakdown of the politics behind what's happening with the movement, it might not help you much, but what comes through is how monumental it is and how passionately people feel about it.
The director of Do Not Split is Anders Hammer. What about for you, Amy? Did you see the field similarly to Angie?
I did. I really was knocked out by those two films in particular, by A Love Song for Latasha and Do Not Split. I mean, the Latasha film, not only do you get a sense of what her personality was like in life, that she was this neighborhood protector here in LA among her friends, that she was kind of the centerpiece and that she had these dreams. You get the sense of what the absence of her life has cost her friends, that one of her friends says, you know, if she had been here still pushing me, I think we would have both been lawyers like we wanted to. We would have opened our own businesses like we want to. And there was a moment in here that also really just took my breath away, where one of her friends mentions being, you know, going to that same convenience store where Latasha was shot and having a gun pulled on her just like a week before and trying to tell Latasha, we shouldn't go to that store, that the woman there is going to hurt somebody. And just that little bit of history that I never heard, I mean, to fill out the tapestry of our town, I think was so important.
We're talking about the Oscar-nominated short documentaries. All of them are playing together on the Lemley Virtual Cinema. And we also have a number of the documentary shorts that are playing at individual locations. A Love Song for Latasha, by the way, is also available on Netflix. We'll have more coming right up. It's Film Week on KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. We're talking about the Oscar-nominated short films. We're in the category of documentaries right now, where both Angie and Amy have as their top two out of the five A Love Song for Latasha, directed by Sophia Nali Allison. It's on Netflix, rated PG, and Do Not Split, which takes us to the Hong Kong protests of 2019. It's on Vimeo. All of the Oscar-nominated documentaries are available together on Lemley's Virtual Cinema. The other nominees are Hunger Ward, which is set in Yemen. Skye Fitzgerald, the director of that. Colette, which is about the Nuremberg trials, and directed by Anthony Giacchino. And who's Michael Giacchino's brother, by the way. And A Concerto is a Conversation, which looks at a virtuoso jazz pianist and film composer who tracks his family's lineage through his 91-year-old grandfather from Jim Crow, Florida, to Walt Disney Concert Hall here in Los Angeles. The film is written by Ben Proudfoot. A Concerto is a Conversation. We also have Oscar-nominated dramatic films, live action, that are out. And Amy, please start us. What are your favorites in this category?
I will. I mean, this category this year definitely has a theme, even stronger than most years. Everything in here is very well-meaning and very much capital letters in your imagination, you know, about the way we live today. Like, each film in here, to be honest, even at their best, feels a little bit like a vitamin pill. There's nothing in here with, like, I would say, like, kind of lightness or a diversity of mood. But that said, a few of these are pretty solid. The one that really pops out of the list is a film called White Eye. And what that's about is it's almost like a continuous shot film, you know, where there's just like a single camera following around this one man who's in a neighborhood in Tel Aviv, where he sees his bicycle that was stolen a few weeks ago, like chained up on the fence or chained up on a pole. And so he decides, how am I going to get my bicycle back? And he goes through the route of the police, and he goes through the route of talking to the people in the neighborhood, and he goes through the route of, can I get some just like bolt cutters and take care of this right here? And it's a movie where you go from the indignity that this man feels, like, come on, do the right thing, get your bike back, what's the right thing to do here, to realizing that what matters to this man can have repercussions that affect a lot of other lives. And it becomes very heavy. It becomes a film about, like, thinking you're making a good moral choice and then realizing that the world is really complicated. So I think because of that, this film is, you know, to me, the chewiest, the one that isn't the most, like, here's the statement on the world that will make you cry. So kudos to White Eye.
White Eye is written and directed by Tomer Shushan, and the film is part of the package of the live-action shorts that are airing together in wide release at theaters. Angie, what were your favorite films in this field?
I concur with Amy. White Eye was my favorite as well. And I also think, you know, I agree with her. All of these this year are big message movies. And sometimes they were very heavy-handed and didn't work that well. Sometimes they worked a little bit better. This one I liked because I think more than the others, it knew what it was trying to say and who it was trying to say it to, and was more willing to take in the complication and nuance of the situation that these characters are living in. It's a film that is, among other things, about the way that this man's, the protagonist's intentions don't necessarily equate to what impact he has on other people's lives, because he starts out, you know, just wanting to get his bike back. It's a totally understandable thing for him to want. But then the way that he goes about doing this just ripples outwards in ways that he didn't intend and ultimately doesn't end up being able to control. And I feel like, if nothing else, it's a reminder to think about how your actions impact others.
You also like the Palestinian film The Present?
Yeah, so the present is about a man and his young daughter who set out in the West Bank to buy a present, an anniversary present for his wife. But he has to go through a number of checkpoints on the way there and back. And each time he is faced with new challenges and new indignities. And I think that one, what it does well is it shows you how these little things just keep adding up and how it quickly becomes unbearable. Because at first, you know, you might just be like, okay, he's going through a checkpoint. It's something he does every day, so it sucks, but he'll get through it. But then you see over the course of the day how each one just saps a little bit more of his energy, saps a little bit more of his spirit, and just ends up grinding him down into the ground.
The present is directed by Farah Nabulsi, who co-wrote it with Hind Shafani. The present is unrated, and that's available on Netflix, also available on Google Play, and again, part of the wide release of all of the live-action shorts that are Oscar-nominated showing together. Also in this category, Feeling Through, which is written and directed by Doug Rowland. A drama that's unrated. This one that didn't connect so much with you, Amy?
Not so much. It felt incredibly calculated. And I feel it's the kind of movie that makes me feel evil for even saying that it felt incredibly calculated, and it did not move me at all. But the story is about a young homeless teen who has a lot of his own problems in his life. Like, he has things he needs to figure out. He needs a lot of help. And yet he meets somebody on the street, a blind and deaf man who needs more help than he does. And it's incredibly touching, and the young man has good frustration, but it just feels like, oh, Nanobot 2000, how am I going to create an Oscar-nominated short? Ta-da, here it is.
That's Feeling Through, we're talking about, which is streaming on YouTube, also in theaters as part of the short live-action package. The Letter Room stars Oscar Isaac. Elvira Lind is the writer-director. Angie, what'd you think of The Letter Room?
It's like all the other films, really. It's a well-intentioned film that I don't think quite gets at what it's trying to do. So Oscar Isaac plays a corrections officer who gets a job reading all the incoming mail to prison. And through that, he becomes way too invested in this one guy's private life in particular. And I don't quite understand what it wants me to do with this. Like, I feel like it thinks that it's sweet and kind of touching, but I don't think it's sweet and touching enough to balance out how strange and messed up it is that this man is reading this other man's mail and getting all involved in stuff that's not his business. So, I mean, it's Oscar Isaac, so it's well acted, but I couldn't really figure out, like, what are we doing here? What am I supposed to take away from this?
The Letter Room is unrated, and in addition to its wide theatrical release, it's streaming on Topic, Amazon Prime Video, and on Vimeo's on-demand platform. And finally, the fifth film in this category of Oscar-nominated live-action films, Two Distant Strangers, starring Joe Vaughn, Virginie Scott, and Andrew Howard. Trayvon Free and Martin Desmond Rowe are the directors. Amy, just real briefly, what'd you think of Two Distant Strangers?
Yeah, it is, you know, we've had a bazillion types of Groundhog Day films come out. And this is one about a young man leaving the apartment of a girl that he's just had a romantic one night stand with, a young man who I think is really charming, really great. And as he leaves, he is assaulted and attacked and murdered by a cop. And every day he wakes up trying to leave the house over and over and over again. Interesting idea, kind of weak premise, but it has a few dark turns that made it worthwhile, but again, I was just like, okay, I don't know if this really fits together, congeals as much as you think it does.
We've had a number of that sort of Groundhog's Day concept for films so far this year. Two Distant Strangers is on Netflix starting 1 week from now, and wide release as well, part of the Oscar-nominated short live-action films. For our Film Week critics, I'm Larry Mantle. Thank you for joining us. This week's critics, Angie Hahn, Charles Solomon, and Amy Nicholson. Have a wonderful weekend. We hope to see you in your own home for our streaming 19th annual Film Week Academy Awards preview. You can RSVP kpcc.org/in-person.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.